And I will tell you that the secret to life is to choose your thoughts wisely because they will become reality. And I'll say that again. Choose your thoughts wisely because they will become reality.
This is the South Storage Podcast, where we share the knowledge and skills from the industry's leading investors, developers, and operators to help you launch and grow your South Storage business. Your host, Scott Myers, over the past 18 years has acquired, developed, converted, and syndicated nearly 5 million square feet of South Storage nationwide. With the help of his incredible team at SouthStorageInvesting.com, who has helped thousands of people achieve greatness in South Storage.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the South Storage Podcast. I am your host, Scott Myers. And as we head into 2024, we're not too far away from New Year's to be talking about what it means to achieve success in 2024 and the mindset that you need to have in order to do so. So is there a secret? Is there a secret sauce? Is there a secret recipe? Well, it's whatever works for you. But there are some basic tenets of success that you've seen the successful people throughout life and in business and in all forms and in all across all industry and sports that people have. But it really starts with the mindset of really making up your mind to begin with. And so that's the piece that I kind of wanted to touch on that today. And for someone who has built a business and their success more on hard work than on raw talent and genius of any sort. One of the things that stuck, one of the statements that has stuck with me that I hold on to is the fact that hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. And I've always found that hustling, I've been able to out-hustle people I've been able to out-hustle smarter people than me just because they weren't willing to hustle or do the heavy lifting or the hard work. And then the further I got along at growing and scaling our business and we had the ability to do so, I always made a point to hire people that are much smarter than me in those areas of the business in which I was deficient and which departments that we didn't have at the time that we needed. And that is what has allowed me to be able to 10X the business as well. But let's start with the basics. And I know I'm going to get the eye rolls here. It's like, well, it all starts with goals. And yes, it does. If you don't write it down, there's no accountability and there's nobody to keep you accountable to it. So you need to write it down and you need to share it. And yes, goals are important. Big, hairy, audacious goals, little goals, big and small, and the small ones that lead up to the big. Everything needs to be written down, and it needs to be measured and monitored, and it needs to be timely. You've heard the term SMART goals before, and if not, that stands for strategic. The goals need to be strategic. They need to be measurable, which means you have to quantify them. They need to be achievable. They can't be a complete moonshot that would just never happen unless you get a whole dose of luck. They need to be realistic. And they also need to be timely. So they need to be time bound. Otherwise, then it's just maybe a wish, something that's put out there, or it looks more like a New Year's resolution than an actual goal. And so Thomas Jefferson was famously quoted for saying, "Nothing can stop the man with the right mental attitude from achieving his goal. Nothing on earth can help the man with the wrong mental attitude." And so it starts with that. It starts with an attitude, mental attitude, and it starts out with goals. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to help you systematically get whatever it is that you're wanting, your goals, your BHAG, your big, hairy, audacious goal, the to-dos checked off. There are some tools and tricks of the trade, though they're really not tricks, that increase your level of productivity, effectiveness, efficiency, and so forth, and freeing up time to do your highest and best use and or your higher and better calling, ultimately your purchase, which is your purpose, which is what we talked about in our last podcast. So what I'd like you to do is, if you haven't already, either take your top three goals for this year or write down your three goals for this year, personally and professionally. And I hope that self-storage in some capacity is on your list, whether that's buying a facility, expanding your present portfolio, and so on. But I assume that somebody here has some form of a goal when it comes to what they want to achieve this year in the business. So write those down. And I also want you to remember that, you know why most people don't get what they want? It's because they don't know what they want. It's not profound, and it's very simple. However, if you haven't really given a thought to what it is that you want, that you're not, because you it's because you don't know what you want. So take that time to figure out what that is. Now, you can, everything we're going to talk about today, you can apply all this to any facet of your life. But as we're looking for total self-storage world domination here at the Self Storage Podcast, everything that follows is going to be with that focus in mind, which is growing and scaling your self-storage up portfolio, both yours and mine. So mainly, if you can't see the target, you cannot hit the target. Therefore, your goal has got to be written down. This could be your vision or what have you, but there are certain steps that need to be followed in order to achieve this. Both steps to get you to this, as well as overall items that need to take place in order to give you the resources you need, time, energy, network, monies, and so forth, is what we're going to be covering. You've heard it said, and that's because it's true, there's 168 hours in a week. No one gets any more time, and no one gets any less time. However, there's certainly the appearance that this is true due to some person who knows how to get many things done in that span, and those who seem to waste it. How? Well, mainly the first group knows exactly who they are, why they are doing this, what they want, where and how they're going to get there, and then they implement and execute. It's as simple as that. There's a book out there called The Little Box of Thinking Big, and the author is Richard Newton. I suggest you take a quick read through that book, because thinking big, it's okay not to know everything. However, you don't know what you don't know. We can all reach great heights with the tools that we have. And if you learn how to be a superstar as a human being and then as an investor, that's how you are able to achieve big things. There's an issue also of worthiness out there, and I've seen this crop up. We have a very large organization that educates investors on how to break into the self-storage business. And when we look at the folks that are successful versus those who just sometimes are a little slow to launch or fail to launch, you know, what we drill down to in some instances where we continue to scratch our heads is that there sometimes is an underlying fear of success. And that could be pre-programmed into people's minds because perhaps somebody in their family along the way demonized rich people, or that they were always told that those rich people that were born with a silver spoon in their mouth and they never do anything good for anybody else. And they were always looked at as being someone who is not desirable by their peers or your parents, your family, whatever that looks like. And so sometimes inherently people have this fear of success or feeling as if that's not anything I want to achieve because that comes with a negative label associated with it. And so take that time, if you haven't, to determine what it is that is maybe keeping you back from being successful, and perhaps maybe there's something that you just haven't really thought about or that will come to mind that you need to overcome while you're thinking big. So thinking big and positive thoughts will allow you to reach greater heights with the tools that we're going to talk about. And really, these tools are our habits. And here's what I'd like you to do right now is take a second and just pause for a second and ask yourself, what are you thinking about right now? Are you thinking about self-defeating thoughts as I begin to talk about this? Or are you thinking big thoughts and getting excited about some of the tools that we're going to share to allow you to get to that place? Are you too busy to think about those things? Or are you too busy to even think about the fact that you can achieve these things because you're so busy? Or are you thinking about big goal advancing tasks, which are, I need to get rid of all these other things, the busyness for the sake of being busy, because it's getting in the way of my big goal advancing task that I have laid out in front of me. And I will tell you that the secret to life is to choose your thoughts wisely because they will become reality. And I'll say that again, choose your thoughts wisely because they will become reality. So over the years, I've listened to a number of mentors who I didn't pay to become mentors, but these are folks that I listened to, yes, on cassette tape and on DVDs and MP3s over the years. And I've read many, many books. And Jim Rohn is probably at the top of the list. And he is the person who coined time is the best kept secret of the rich. And it truly is. And I agree with that 100% because time is our best asset, period. And if you shorten the learning curve, that is what is going to allow you to achieve success and do it greater and then also begin the steamroller. Time is our best asset. And once you master that and you internalize that, you realize that when you shorten your learning curve, and with the tools that we're going to show you how to do, that is what allows you to achieve success faster. And that is what begins the snowball effect as you begin to pick up speed and gain momentum. But it starts with setting goals and then prioritizing the most important tasks to achieve those. We all like to check boxes off. It gives us those little endorphins at the end of the day or at the beginning of the day or throughout the day. However, it's much better to get those one, two, or three big tasks that move and advance your mission forward than it does to check off 10 to 12 of those little tasks just because it makes you feel better. So while you're doing this, I would also suggest that you schedule your work at optimal times. For me, the times when I am cognitively aware the most and I am more productive thinking more clearly is between 4 a.m. and 7 a.m. That is the time when I do most of my thinking and then those tasks that I execute between 7 a.m. and 12 noon. And then the afternoons are just for the busy work, the redundant stuff. That's just my time and my schedule. So I schedule accordingly. The tasks that are more cerebral in nature, that require me to be sharp and thinking. Well, that's the time when I get up in the morning and when I'm caffeinated. And then anything else from 7 a.m. to noon when I'm alert, if I'm recording and in communications and meetings with folks where I need to be paying attention, that's the best time for those. And then the afternoon is just a busy work or maybe taking some low-level type meetings where I don't have to be as creative, where I am just a participant rather than someone driving that meeting, if you will. Also, I'm going to give you permission to say no in order to free your time up. And no is probably the most powerful tool that you can use throughout your day and in your calendar. Because every time you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else, and it may be those important tasks. So just be cautious. Just be cautious and guard your calendar. There's 24 hours in a day, 8 to work, 8 to sleep, and 8 to spend however you want. But don't allow those things, the however you want, to creep into the work category. Because it is in this last category, the however you want, that separates the successful from the not successful. So be intentional and be proactive. So let's talk about some of these habits. So there are three basic habits which I follow that have allowed me to be able to achieve and attain my goals. And I'm going to give you three exercises to be able to get to that place as well, where you are hyper productive. And there's three exercises that I'd like you to do after the podcast. And one of those is to track your time. Number two is to track what you feed yourself. And number three is to track where your money goes. So let's cover these one by one. You know, there is a bell curve, and I'm going to ask you to mark the level of your success and mark the level of your daily habits. And you will see the problem as you go through this exercises, as you'll see the problem as we go through these exercises. Because the brain is a muscle of habit. It learns behavior, and it will do it again and again. And it comes on autopilot. Both good or bad behavior comes on without you even recognizing it at times. So I would ask you to begin tracking your time and therefore your habits, and it will show you the autopilot habits. And as you begin to track this, do more of what works and do less of what doesn't. And so there are many software tools out there that allow you to be able to track your time. Many of those are computer-based, so it really only monitors what you're doing while you're online, while you're sitting at your desk. And that is, for the most of us, our most productive time. But I would ask you to go old school. You know, get out the pad of paper, and in 15-minute increments, mark out your day, you know, what you've done, your tasks that you do each and every day in 15-minute increments. And if it's a task that you've done for a half an hour or a meeting for an hour, whatever that looks like, or exercising for an hour and a half, then write it in that block. You don't need to do it in every 15-minute increments. But if there are some of these other smaller tasks that you do, just chunk them together and put them in there and do it for 30 days. And then when you look back on those 30 days, you're going to begin to see those habits. You're going to see those patterns. And it's going to show you the autopilot habits that maybe you're not even aware of and show you where your time's going that will allow you to then see some of these habits that you've created that are not very productive and that are time consuming, and those that you can remove and then replace with those habits and those tasks and those items that are going to allow you to achieve the goals and begin to create new habits for you. And number two is taking care of the machine. And so it does start with diet and exercise and tracking everything that goes into your body. And I would also suggest that you get an accountability partner, because it's real easy to cheat when you can track this. But if you're going to make changes, it takes an accountability partner to point out to you some of the things that you need to stop doing or consuming and putting into your body, and the things that you need to start putting into your body that are also good for you. Set goals. Journal your victories, journal your progress, whether it's weight gain, whether it's an increase in your bench press weight and reps or all of the above, or your time in the mile, whatever that looks like, journal those victories, set those goals, and then journal your victories along the way. And that also gives you those endorphins each and every day. That also makes you feel good about your day, especially if you're exercising and achieving some of these goals, these wins and these victories in the morning to start your day off. And then also, taking care of the machine, not only is this about diet, what you put into your body, but what you put into your mind as well. And I would say you need to put some quiet time into your mind. So turn off the negative news, turn off the negative feeds, stay away from social media, go on a media fast for a little while. Social media, regular media, because we know that traditional media, radio, TV, news, most of that is negative because that is what sells. And social media is a lot of comparison, a bunch of folks out there that are comparing themselves to others. And what that does is it gives us a tendency many times to take a look internally at our lives that feel as if we don't measure up, plus all the negative information that's out there as well. So why don't you just take a break, put your head down, focus on the things that are going to drive your business forward, because those things aren't in the news and those things aren't on social media. And as you begin to track these items, including your time, or I should say, especially your time, you're going to see that you're going to begin to want to make a time management shift. And time management is a term that we throw around. There is no such thing as managing time. Time marches on, but it's just being more effective with the time that we have, especially the working hours. So you've heard the 80-20 rule, Pareto's law. I would write down a stop doing list. As after you have begun to track your time, create a stop doing list and ask yourself, what 20% of the sources of my time wasters are causing 80% of my ineffectiveness and unhappiness? And then begin to prune those things like weeds in the garden and get them out of your life, get them out of your routines, your daily, your weekly, your monthly routine. Then I would take a look at the 20% of the sources that are resulting in the 80% of your desired outcomes, happiness, and make time for them and prioritize for them. And then prioritize and do your best to increase those sources that are now at 20%, increase those to 30 or 40%, those sources that are resulting in more of your desired outcomes and your happiness, and make time for them and prioritize, schedule them as well. Being busy is a form of laziness. It's lazy thinking and indiscriminate action. And you know when you're doing this, you know when you're following a calendar and hitting your marks. You know, I calendar a little bit differently than other folks and track my time. And that is, I use my calendar not just for appointments, but also for tasks. And I chunk them throughout my day. I'm only hitting email twice a day. I'm not just letting these intrusions come in. And there's tasks and there's things that I need to get done. And as I mentioned before, those three things, or the one thing that I need to do today, that goes up at the top of the list in my calendar, and I block out time for it. And then comes everything else. Otherwise, if you're not running your calendar and your time, well, then you know what? Business and other people, they begin to run your time and manage your day. And all of a sudden you get to the end of it and yeah, you're disappointed. And I know you've been there. I've been there frequently, where you get to the end of the day and say, I didn't get anything done. You know what? You did, but you didn't get very many things done that were a priority and the things that move your business forward. So be intentional. Busy is a form of laziness, and that's lazy thinking and indiscriminate action. To help you with this, I would suggest another couple of books here. One is The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. So no, doesn't mean that you're getting to a place where you're only working 4 hours a week. If you haven't read his book, The 4-Hour Workweek, what it is the minimum, it focuses on the minimum effective dose for getting things done, getting more things done, and hacking. How do we hack the system to be able to be more effective and get to success and get to the completion of tasks and projects quicker by implementing a number of different hacks and a time measurement and management tools out there that allow you to achieve success faster. Also, I would recommend Dan Sullivan's program, the Strategic Coach Program, and or his book, Unique Ability. And it allows you to be able to find out what is, first of all, your unique ability so that you can focus on that and spend 80% of your time on your unique ability and what you bring to your business or an organization. And then to be able to whittle down and scale back that other 20%, the minutia, the stuff that is not your unique ability, but just the things that you have to do. Ray Joseph also wrote a book many years ago called How to Gain an Extra Hour Every Day. These are some of the blocking and tackling, the X's and O's about how to be able to get rid of some of these time wasters. And it's just a good book to read to be able to gain an extra hour every day. And I would think that you would get at least another 30 minutes back in your day just from reading his book. Also, The Time Breakthrough by Dan Sullivan. Also, as you can recognize, another one of my favorite authors. And he talks about other ways of, again, managing time, although there is no way of managing time, but ways that we can be more effective. And also, Mastering the Rockefeller Habits by Vern Harnish. This is a fantastic read, and which became a movement and a program by Vern Harnish, which really put him on the map and his business, Gazelles, Inc. And anything and everything that he has written and his programs and his tools and his platform is also very effective for mapping out your one-page plan and then how to achieve those goals from a time management standpoint. And then also The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy. As you recognize, he really takes a deep dive into the snowball effect of what it takes to be able to gain momentum. And once you start focusing on the most important things in your business. So then my own personal blocking and tackling rules, my own X's and O's, schedule deadlines, is to schedule deadlines for both the important and the unimportant, and put deadlines on those, put them on the calendar, as I mentioned, and don't just continue to move them over from one day to the next on your to-do list or down the to-do list or to the next day on your calendar. Put a deadline and make sure that there's a penalty behind that for not achieving that. Also, schedule yourself a reminder 3 times a day. It can come up on your computer. It could come up on your phone, your watch, and asking the question, am I being productive or just active? And if this pops up, you know, you may recognize a few times that, hey, I wanted to order something. I got onto Amazon really quick. And all of a sudden, I took a deeper dive, which led me somewhere else, And all of a sudden, are you being active? Well, you may be, but are you being productive? So set a reminder somewhere and ask yourself that question three times a day. You could also ask yourself the question at the same time, am I inventing things to do to avoid the important? I'm being busy and I'm being active and I'm riding it out until 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or whatever time it is that you call quitting time. And are you just doing things to avoid the important, thinking, well, it's really not that critical and I can move it over to tomorrow because I'm really not feeling it. I just don't feel like it today. Well, today is a day that you need to do the important. That's why it's the important. So stop inventing things or excuses as to why you are avoiding the important today. Now let's talk about pruning to put things in perspective to make sure that you are getting to the important versus the unimportant. What's it like on the day that you leave for vacation? You may have 1 or 2 hours to work and then the rest of the time is packing and assembling everybody or getting to the airport or getting into the car. Let's just assume that every day you only had 2 hours per day. Well, what is it that you would do? You know, tomorrow, take a look at your calendar and let's just say, I've only got 2 hours. Maybe it's the first 2 hours of the day or the middle 2 hours, whatever that is. Everything that has to be done, I have to do in 2 hours. What would be pruned? What else would you move to the next day? And maybe you just do that. You take your to-do list or your calendar, and you only put on the important things for 2 hours. And you don't stop until they get done. Now, maybe it takes you all day, and maybe you're not very efficient in your time, but you got those things done that were the most important. You're still better off than if you would have had all these other little things and the temptation to go in and check off of those other little items to make yourself feel as if you're active and productive. So 2 hours per day, try that tomorrow. Put in the important things, clear everything else off, and see what your day looks like after that. And another question to ask yourself is, if you're cramming things into that 2 hours, if this is the only thing I accomplished today, will I be satisfied with my day? That ought to be in that 2 hour window, and that ought to be at the top of the list every day. Also, do not multitask. There's no such thing. Shut down Skype, shut down Zoom, shut down auto delivery on your email, any other distraction. When you're in that productive zone, say that 2 hours, don't let any other distractions steal that time away or steal your focus away as well. I mentioned I do email twice a day at 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. and I don't go back to email after dinner because that cuts into my free time and my rejuvenation time or my time with my family. So try that out. If you're not batching email, try it out. See if that works. Maybe that's 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. and then 4 p.m. to 4:30, whatever that looks like. Maybe it's an hour, maybe it's 2 hours. And if you've got more than will fit into that window, then I think you've got more emails than you can handle and it's time to do a purge. So click on search in your email inbox for unsubscribe and then up will come everything that you've subscribed to, whether you chose to or you automatically got subscribed to. And then ask yourself, do I really read this? When's the last time I read it? Do I really need it? Does it really help me? And then unsubscribe, and go through that exercise, not during working hours. This can be done some other time on the weekend, but go through and purge your email inbox from all those distractions. I would also suggest you go on a low information diet. Eliminate the daily paper, the AM and PM news, web surfing, news sites, TV of any kind. It just weighs on you and it's just time consuming. If you got some big goals right now, if you've got a season that you're in which you have to be productive and you can't let anything distract you, then go on a low to no information diet and see what that looks like. I have chosen to become selectively ignorant, as Tim Ferriss calls it in the 4-hour work week, in which I don't need to listen to all that. And the important things that I need to know about, you know what? I've got a handful of folks that are really, really smart and that keep tabs on those important things in those areas that I can ask when we get together, hey, what's going on in the world today? Hey, what's going on in the economy right now? Hey, how do you see this election playing out? What does it look like in the lending world these days, you know, meaning interest rates and anything that's important to me? And I can go to those people and I can get the lowdown. I don't have to fool myself or kid myself thinking, well, I'm not going to become relevant or I'm going to become a dinosaur if I don't keep up on all these things. Yeah, go ahead and look at the information that you're consuming and see whether you're becoming relevant or if you're just becoming negative and cynical and not getting to the important things. Also, I subscribe to the 15-minute rule, which means that if I'm struggling, I'm researching something, I'm struggling to find the answer to a task in my business or, you know, anything that has taken me more than 15 minutes and I'm spinning my wheels on, then I'm going to stop at the 15-minute mark. And then I'm going to write out the goal of what it is that I'm trying to achieve. And then I'm going to pass it to somebody else in my organization. And they're either going to handle it or they're going to hire a VA or utilize one of our virtual assistants to be able to handle that task. And if it is a redundant task, then I shouldn't be doing it anymore anyway. So I'm going to very quickly write out a small standard operating procedure. Here's how I want this to be done each and every time this comes up. And I want this off my plate so that I don't have to do this any longer. And so what I found as a result of implementing these habits in my life is that I recognize that now I want to work with people who also share my passion and they're focusing on their why as well. And so when you get real clear on what it is that you want, then you are going to be the sum total of the five people you hang out with. And so choosing those people that are also looking to take it to the next level, to grab another gear, and that also maybe share your same moral values and really just a passion and a sense of urgency for achieving their goals, you know, those are the folks that I want to hang out with. And so to be amongst the other people that are striving and encouraging one another, that is the place where you want to be. That is also going to help to fuel your success and get you to the place that are also going to help you to achieve your BHAGs, your big, hairy, audacious goals, and celebrate them when they achieve theirs as well. So once again, as we look back, why most people don't get what they want? Because they don't know what they want. And that's what really what it's all about. Because then those BHAGs in business really feed over into what else is it that I want to do when I give back to my purpose? And then Pareto's law comes back in and again, because if you have built an incredible business, and so once you get to that place where you have created an incredible business that is now throwing off cash flow without a whole lot of input from yourself, well, you may find yourself wanting to flip the script. And now, instead of spending 80% of my time on things that it will take to grow my business and the other 20% on the minutiae that I have to do, well, now maybe I can take a step back and I can spend 80% of my time doing the things that I want to do. And that is to be on the mission field, to give back, to be able to mentor folks, to do more of the life purpose type items. And then the other 20% now, you know, those are the things that keep the business moving, the things that really take just a little bit of a lifting from me. But now, you know, it is that flywheel that Jim Collins talks about in Good to Great. It keeps spinning. And now I just go in and give it a little tap from time to time, give a little bit of a push. But I get to flip the script and take advantage of the 80-20 on the other side. Because really everything in life is the 80-20 rule when it comes down to it. So your profit, your leverage, your systems, anything that you use 80% of to its efficiency, and then the other 20% is just the minutia, you'll find that those are the things that are going to be maximized and made most efficient, that is going to allow you to achieve the success you want, and then ultimately put you in a position where you can spend 80% of your time in the things that fulfill you the most and are fulfilling your life's purpose. So let's work on implementing these habits so that you can 10x your business, which will allow you to then implement the 80-20 rule, not only in your business, but then eventually flipping the script so that 80% of your life is doing those things that focus on your purpose and the other 20% is the business. And that's what we do here at selfstorageinvesting.com. We help people to achieve success in all facets of their life and in their self-storage business. Whether you want to start a self-storage business, we help folks to get from 0 to 55 miles an hour. We're the specialists at that. We started the very first education at business in self-storage back in 2005, and we've helped more people in self-storage to get into the business than any other organization out there. And if you're already in the business and you want to take it to the next level, that's what our self-storage mastermind is for. That are folks that are already in the business and they're growing and scaling a portfolio of self-storage facilities. And they are already very keen on what it is. What is their purpose in life? They understand the Pareto principle. And if that is you and you're just looking to hang out with more like-minded individuals because they don't exist in your organization, you are a solopreneur, or if you're just looking to take it to the next level and you want to be around folks to be able to catch that fire, because as they say, the fire burns hotter when the coals are closer together, then we'd love to have you come test drive our mastermind. So go to selfstorageinvesting.com for all things self-storage, and that we would love to have you as a bigger part of our community just outside of the podcast. So with that, gang, this has been Scott Myers with the Self-Storage Podcast, and I look forward to seeing you on the next one. Take care, everyone.
Hey, gang, wait, three things before you leave. First, don't forget to follow the Self-Storage Podcast and turn on your notification so you never miss another episode. And while you're there, please leave us a 5-star review if you like the show. Second, be sure to share your favorite episodes and more via Instagram. And don't forget to tag us. And lastly, head to the links in the show description and hit follow on Twitter and Facebook to get a front row seat as we grow and scale our business and bring you along with us.